Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Wednesday, November the 10th, 2021, 15 minutes past the hour. And I get the feeling somebody has been messing with the microphones again. You know, I have no idea who comes in here and does this, but you can always tell when the microphones have been tinkered with a little bit. The sound goes down a little. You know, I think it's people's headphones, to be honest with you. Everybody has a different set of headphones, and they think they've got the sound right, but really, they do not. Okay, I think that's back where we need to be. I'm telling you, one day I'm just going to duct tape the top of this board so nobody can touch these controls. But here we are on a Wednesday. Now, we have a lot of interesting stuff coming up here today on the show. Do want to let everybody know that when I'm off the air today, Glenn Coble, well, actually, I'll be on with Glenn today. It is Wednesday. I'll be on with Glenn from 10 a.m. until 12 noon. And then Glenn will be on with A Progressive Life from 12:15 until 1 p.m. And then we'll have Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redman today, 4:10 until 5 p.m. And then we will wrap it up today with the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon, 6:10 until 7 p.m. on this station. Now, here on the morning program, we've got a great program because coming up this morning at 8:35, nothing to do with Marion politics, but there was a great story, and I even brought it up during our election coverage last week. There was a great story out of Toledo. Toledo had a mayor named Cardi Finkbeiner. Now, Cardi had been the mayor for two terms in the 1990s. Now, Toledo is limited by term limits for mayor. Their mayor is limited by term limits. So, their mayor can only run two terms in a row. Now, they can leave and come back and run, but they can only run two in a row. So, Cardi ran for mayor, and he had two terms, I believe, in the 1990s, and then he left because he was limited by term limits. And then he came back in the early 2000s and ran again and won again. And he said this would be his last term as mayor back in the early 2000s. I believe he left in 2009. Well, he came back in 2021 at 82 years old and said he was going to go for a fourth term because of how things were going in Toledo. Excuse me. And they had a mayor up in, or they have a mayor up in Toledo, Kapsakevich, Mayor Kapsakevich. And this race went down last Tuesday, I guess it was, and Mayor Kapsakevich was reelected. But we want to talk to Cardi Finkbeiner about why he ran for mayor at age 82, what happened last week in his run for mayor, and maybe, well, I guess what he's going to do from here on out, because he's never lost an election before for mayor of Toledo. So we're going to talk to Cardi Finkbeiner at 8:35 this morning up until 9 o'clock. Now, other than that, during the 9 o'clock hour this morning, we're going to have some trivia and fun. Just enjoy ourselves. But I want to start off the morning here by going into the Geraldo Journal very quickly, because I don't think we updated it yesterday. And as I've said before, the one important thing you've got to do with a journal is you have to keep it updated. If it's not updated, it's not going to go very well. So the last day we wrote anything in this journal was the 8th, so we did not write anything in here on November the 9th. So we'll do a quick did not hear from Geraldo. Now, that would have been yesterday's entry. And then we'll go to today, the 10th of the month of November. And I'm not sure why we're not hearing from Geraldo, to be honest with you. I don't... At some point, you think somebody would have given him a note or something, or he would have slowed down for a minute. Slowed down, you know, like that. See, that's where you run your words together. slowed down for a minute. We'll give it another. Did not hear from Geraldo. Okay. So we've updated that, and that's that for now. We'll get in deeper to this as the week goes on, and maybe try another route when it comes to Mr. Rivera and this whole journal thing. Now, there are a couple things I want to talk about this morning. I guess I'll start with this. Dean Stockwell was a tremendous actor. He died yesterday. Well, he died Saturday, but the news was released yesterday that he had passed away at the age of 85. Now, Dean Stockwell was in a lot of movies. He was a child star, but probably best known as Al in the hit TV series Quantum Leap. And I loved Quantum Leap when it was on. Matter of fact, last night, one of the channels on the antenna, I think the Comet channel is what it's called, was running a little bit of a Quantum Leap marathon. And I think it had to do with the passing of Dean Stockwell. I'm not sure if Quantum Leap normally airs on that station, but I know they ran some pretty good episodes last night that featured Dean Stockwell in a heavy way. And I got a chance to interview Dean Stockwell back in 2013, I think, and I've put that up on my Facebook page because he was just a funny guy. If there ever was a Renaissance guy who did not take himself very seriously, it seemed like that was Dean Stockwell. He had done these movies as a child star and been a big hit. He'd been in movies, I think, with Gregory Peck and Frank Sinatra. And then he left Hollywood and went and did something else. And then he came back to Hollywood and worked a little, I think when he was in his maybe early 20s, 30s, and then he left again, and then came back and had this big success later in life with movies like Married to the Mob and Blue Velvet, and then got Quantum Leap, and he was on Battlestar Galactica, and just did a lot of movies in the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s that were big successes, and also guest starred on a lot of television series. And then he retired from acting again, I believe in 2015, and devoted his life to his artwork, which is what I think he spent the last 6 years doing. So I was sad to hear of his passing, mainly because I did not know him really at all, except for the interview we did, but Quantum Leap to me was such a good show that I just enjoyed this man. I still enjoy him. I watched three episodes of Quantum Leap last night. The show still holds up. It's a very good show. If you haven't seen Quantum Leap, you should watch it. And it really, it only stars two people, Scott Bakula and Dean Stockwell. That's it. That's the whole cast. And that was the whole cast for the entire five-year run. And the you had different cast week to week, but the constants were those two guest stars, I guess is what you should say, from week to week. But boy, Dean Stockwell was a great, great actor. What an enjoyable guy, and I was sorry to hear that he passed away yesterday at the age of 85, or passed away over the weekend. It was released yesterday. You know, you're hearing a lot of that now, too. People will pass away, and then all of a sudden the press will come out a few days later. So, did want to mention Dean Stockwell this morning, and if there are any fans of Quantum Leap out there, or any fans of Dean Stockwell from other movies like Married to the Mob and Blue Velvet, or anything he did, I think it was The Child with the Green Hair was the name of the movie that he did as a child star, The Child with the Green Hair. Give me a buzz here. 740-383-9944. We've got about 12 minutes before we're going to check in with Cardi Finkbeiner this morning. But Quantum Leap, a great show, and Dean Stockwell, a great actor. So sorry to hear about his passing. Now, I have to mention this, because every morning as I'm getting ready to go on the air, I put my headphones in, so I hear the weather report every morning before I come on the air. Now, sometimes I pay attention and sometimes I don't. But this week, this is the third morning I've paid attention to this, and I'm starting to think that Adam has an obsession with snow, Or the fact, I don't know if he has an obsession with snow, or if he has an obsession with the fact that snow might come. Because it started on Monday with him talking about snow coming next Sunday, and then yesterday, I think it was still focused in on the weekend. Now I think it's focused in on Friday, I think is what the weather report said. But we keep getting this update. And snow might come. It might be a flurry. I don't think it's going to be anything more than that at this particular point. But I think he might have an obsession about snow. He's like those weathermen in Columbus that drive people to the store to get bread and milk and all kinds of things when really nothing is going to happen. I can't imagine it would be anything more than a dusting coming up. And apparently it continues to move. And I'm not even sure if there'll be a dusting. I don't know. Maybe. I haven't looked at any models when it's come to the forecast. But has anybody noticed this, or is this just me, that he's a little obsessed with the possibility of snow later on this week? Give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And I know most people are not a fan of snow, especially this early in the season, November, December. But it seems to me like Adam certainly either likes to talk about it or has an obsession about it. I'm not sure which yet. Maybe as time goes on, we'll figure that out together. But if anybody believes what I believe, as I say, give me a call here. Phone lines are open this morning. 740-383-9944. Now, two things happened yesterday that I want to bring up here. Now, the other day, I had a package delivered to my house. And it was sitting outside my door. And it was a fairly big package, probably a medium-sized package, from Walmart. And I got home on, I guess it would have come on Monday. I got home Monday, and I went out there, and I thought, well, I didn't order anything. What would this be? So I go outside, and I notice that the label on the package is not my name, and it's not even the street that I live on. The only thing on this package that matched up was the number part of my address. Just the number part, that's all. The three numbers that are in my address. The street was wrong, and the name was wrong. Now, this is strange how it got delivered to me, but it did. So it's sitting on my porch, and I know that it's not me. Now, I know that it's in my neighborhood, though, because the street that's on the tag, I know is a street over from mine. Now, this is Monday night. Now, I just didn't do anything Monday night. I just left it outside. I thought, well, maybe somebody will realize what they did wrong, but that did not happen. So, last night, Angie came over for a little bit, and I had told her that this had happened, and she did not like, I don't think, that I had not just run this package over to my neighbor. So last night, the package is still out on my porch, and she said, well, why don't you just run that over to your neighbor? And I thought, okay, it will resolve the problem. So I go over to my neighbor, and the first thing I notice as I go over there, it's the only house in the neighborhood that's got a Christmas tree up in the window, like a full-blown Christmas tree. Now, we've talked about this on this show. When is too early to put up your Christmas decorations? Well, I think now is way too early, especially your tree. The full tree was up. And it was funny because I'm looking up and down the street. There are no other trees in the window. There are no other Christmas lights up, nothing like that, except this one house. Well, of course, that would be the house where this package goes. In any event, we walk over to this house and deliver it to this woman, and you think she would be happy that her package did not get lost. Hopefully she was expecting this package. I don't know. Maybe you expect a little bit of gratitude, like a oh, thank you so much, I've been waiting for this, or something like that. Went to the door, knocked on the door, handed her the package, and it was basically, oh, okay, they do that sometimes. Now, that is pretty much what I heard the woman say. I didn't hear a thank you. I didn't hear a thank you for doing this. Okay, they do that sometimes. That was the response that I got. Now, I'm not saying the woman has to be jubilant that I delivered this package, but is there something going on in society that maybe has passed me by that I don't understand, where people don't have the slightest bit of courtesy? Wouldn't you be happy if I delivered your package? Now, it's not like I would ever keep the package. That's not even a question. But I could have taken it down to the post office. You know, I live right next door to a post office. I could have taken it back there, and then they would have taken it back, and because it was delivered to the wrong address, then it would have to go back out with the postal worker and be delivered. So it probably would have taken 4 or 5 days to get this thing re-delivered. And I just did it because I thought maybe this woman would want this. And I was prompted a little bit by Angie to do it. But no happiness, no thankfulness, nothing. Not even the slightest bit of kindness from this person. Now, does anybody understand this? We've got a couple minutes here before we're going to go to Cardi Finkbeiner. Does anybody understand this? 740-383-9944. And Angie was right there, and she didn't understand it either. She thought the woman would be a little more thankful that she got her package, because it was a decent-sized package. I don't know if it was an expensive item or not. But you think she would be glad that she got it? But maybe not. Maybe that's just me. Maybe I'm barking up the wrong tree here. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott, Pastor Craig.
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good. I would have thanked you. You know, I think most people would have thanked you for taking the effort to bring the package over. But I think what happened here is she put up her Christmas tree so early it just sucked the Christmas spirit right out of her.
I've heard that it can do that.
That's right.
Well, and you know, I wanted to give this woman the benefit of the doubt. And as I was walking away, walking back to my house, I was trying to rationalize what happened here. And one of the things that I rationalized was maybe this was from Santa Claus, and maybe me delivering it at that time of night, the children were home. You know, I thought, well, maybe that's the problem.
It could possibly be, yes.
Yeah, so, but no good deed goes unpunished. We all have to learn that.
That's right.
Yep. Hey, thanks for calling.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, 740-383-9944. Yeah, I was trying in my mind to rationalize why the woman was not happy that she got her package. But she really wasn't, oddly enough. But that's the way it goes. You know, we'll take some more calls maybe about this in the next hour. And I really do implore you to listen to this interview with Cardi Finkbeiner, because I think it will be very interesting, to say the least. We're going to step out here, get Cardi Finkbeiner on the line, and come back. And trust me, this man is a very interesting, charismatic man. So I think you'll enjoy him. Cardi Finkbeiner coming up after this short but important break.
Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, 12:10 to 2 p.m. Guest you won't want to miss, like Clarence B. Jones, advisor, confidant, attorney, and co-author of the I Have a Dream speech to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
And I cannot thank you enough for coming on to have this frank discussion, because a lot of people wouldn't have. And you came on short notice. Clarence Jones, a friend of this program, I hope you come back again.
Well, I came on short notice because this God I admire. I admire your journalistic integrity. You you ask the, you know, you ask probing questions. You respect my answers, even though you may not agree with all of them. At least you accord me the professional respect, which goes along with your craft. And so, your listeners are very fortunate to have a broadcaster of your abilities and your broadcast journalism integrity. So, I'm always pleased to be in your program.
Tough but fair is what you always hope they say about a journalist. Tough but fair.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, 12:10 to 2 p.m., right here on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM.
Scott Spears back with you here on a Wednesday morning, November the 10th, 2021, day before Veterans Day 2021, 35 minutes past the hour. And we're joined by a gentleman who certainly has led an interesting life. He has been on this program before. He is a former three-term mayor of Toledo, Ohio, and he just took another stab at that last Tuesday night. Came up a little short in the votes, but we wanted to talk to him because he has been such a charismatic figure and done a lot of good for the city of Toledo at 82 years old, and maybe find out what he's going to do next. We welcome to these microphones Mayor Cardi Finkbeiner. Mayor, how are you?
Catching up on a lot of lost sleep, Scott, but I'm fine, and I'm glad you called. I was just heading down to the phone to call you, but you beat me to it by about 30 to 60 seconds.
Well, Cardi, I got to ask you, for people around here who were aware that you were running again, at 82 years old, what drove you to run for a fourth term as mayor of Toledo?
Scott, I appreciate your beginning our interview with that question. That is probably the most meaningful question. And simply put, it's this. All of my adult life, my younger life, which included graduating from Denison University down in Central Ohio way back in 1962. That last year at Denison, Scott, I spent a lot of time in Swayze Chapel, the main chapel on the Denison University campus, praying to God for guidance. School had been, had as it is for some of us, not all of us, school had been fun. It had been not particularly challenging except till we got to the final semester examinations each year. And I enjoyed it a lot, but I really had not been challenged by my professors and not by my folks either. What are you going to do, son, for the rest of your life? And I was in that chapel at Denison University praying for guidance about how the rest of my life should be spent. Didn't have a great deal even then, didn't have a great deal of interest, Scott, in just going out in the world and making money. I did wish to make a difference. Spent my first year out of Denison University teaching the sixth grade at my old alma mater, Maumee Valley Country Day School in Toledo. And the part of that experience that was the most challenging to me was the coaching of football. I was assistant football coach on the football team. So in that first year out of college, in addition to teaching the sixth grade and having that the very exciting experience of coaching young men in football, I applied for coaching graduate assistantships at Minnesota, the University of Michigan, and the University of Toledo. And ultimately, that spring of '63, I had to make a decision between going to the school of my father's. My father graduated from, my uncle had graduated from and played football at the University of Michigan and the University of Toledo. And the head coach at Michigan, a gentleman by the name of Bump Elliott, gave me very sound early advice. He said, you'll probably feel like you're letting your dad down if you come to the University of Michigan, if you don't come to the University of Michigan. But he said, I think you'll have a better
experience at the University of Toledo and that you'll be working with the varsity football team, and at Michigan I'd have been working with the freshmen. All of which is to say that last year in college, the first year out of college, I spent a lot of time pondering the future. So my three major experiences in life, Scott, have ended up trying to make a difference in the world and not being too concerned about how much money was earned in any one of the positions. Football coach, which I did for the next 4 years at the University of Toledo. I then went to work for the anti-poverty program in Toledo. Now I'm getting closer to what I ended up doing for the rest of my life, because that anti-poverty program was really about working with poor people in the neighborhoods of the city that weren't speaking up for themselves at city council meeting, weren't organizing themselves to get things done in their poor neighborhoods. And I enjoyed that tremendously, and that led me ultimately to running for city council. Was elected 5 times to 2-year terms on city council, one of which I served as vice mayor, and then ran twice for mayor and lost, close elections, but lost, before finally succeeding just after, in 1992, we had changed our form of government in Toledo from a city manager form of government to a strong mayor form of government. In 93, I was elected a strong mayor for the first of my 3 terms as a strong mayor. You have to sit out after 2 terms here, and after I sat out 2001 through 2005, I was reelected in 2005 to my third to four-year term, and here we are in 2021 running again, because I saw the things that I saw when I was working for the anti-poverty program reappearing in Toledo, and that is that our older we're a city divided. We have half of our city which is doing, one quarter of our city is doing very well in terms of commerce and money being brought into city coffers and the appearance of neighborhoods. Another quarter, which is where I live in the second quarter, we were once quite strong, and then we lost a very popular mall in the heart of South Toledo, and we were on the verge a couple years ago of losing our South Toledo hospital until I and the Congresswoman Marcy Kaptur went to work to save that hospital, and we successfully did. So we're hanging in there in South Toledo, still holding pretty good property values and some degree of commerce, but nowhere near the commerce we once had about 15 years ago. And finally, we've got our east side and our north side, as well as our central city, that have some really underserved, undernourished, violence-prone and blight-prone neighborhoods. I did not see the administration and the mayor tackling with any degree of success the violence and the blight in those underserved North and East Toledo neighborhoods, and sat down with them a couple weeks before I finally got into the race and presented a plan that I thought would successfully take on the crime and the blight in those neighborhoods. The mayor said he liked the plan and his staff liked the plan, but he thought it would be better to implement the plan after I had made a decision as to whether I was going to run or not run for mayor. And by putting it off and putting what I thought was politics ahead of protecting the citizens of those particularly 2 challenged neighborhoods, I'd get in and run. That's why I got in and ran.
And following you on Facebook through this campaign, nobody got out and worked like you did in the city of Toledo. What was that like to get out amongst the voters again during this pandemic time?
Well, I think there's one word that nobody really did use, but I would use it probably in retrospect. Wasn't the wisest thing I ever did on this earth, in that I'm a very familiar sight to Toledoans when I'm out in their neighborhoods or their bowling alleys or their Friday night football games. And there's generally a fair amount of hugging and touching and just embracing. And I wasn't wearing a mask, and most of the time, those that I was seeing in those circumstances, football game, bowling alleys, door-to-door at their homes, neither were the peaceful people that I were hugging. So it probably wasn't the wisest thing in the Western world. Now, I had both my COVID shots and felt good. What I didn't probably properly... don't worry about that cell phone interrupting. What I probably didn't evaluate as much as I wish I had was how interested were the people in the election. It seems like people are having a very hard time getting out to things like their churches, movies, even up until the last, I'd say, 6 weeks, Saturday night dinners out. And so I kind of was stripped of the way I found myself effectively able to campaign in the past, and that is going door to door. A fair number of doors were not opened, and so we found ourselves leaving our literature, campaign literature, under the front doormat or tucked into the door, but didn't have the personal conversations that I normally did. Bowling alleys were pretty well attended once we got into September, and football games were fair, not as anywhere near as crowded as I was used to seeing on a Friday night, but fair attendance at some of those games. I just guess I didn't see until late in the campaign that there would not be a high voter turnout. In the primary, we had, I believe, 8% of Toledoans turned out in the primary, and in the general election, though I have not yet seen the official figures, I believe it was somewhere around 22%. So we ended up with 2 out of 10 Toledoans voting in the general election, and I was campaigning 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks before the election, and people were saying, "I didn't realize you were running," and so we even had a few of those into the last couple of weeks of the campaign. "I didn't realize you were running." It was not a great turnout, to put it mildly. I guess I have to put some responsibility on myself and my opponent. I made the issue, Scott, the number one issue, violence. 1 year when I was mayor, we had 13 murders in Toledo. Our average probably was somewhere between 26 and 33, 34 murders in a Toledo. We are at 60 in Toledo at the present time, and the administration does no active plan to blight that block that violence by going into the neighborhoods with our police department and challenging them. They're just not attacking it. And meanwhile, it's significantly, not exclusively, significantly black-on-black crime, and the folks in the African-American neighborhoods are the ones that are living in significantly more fear and concern than the people that are living in West and South Toledo, and therefore it's not getting the attention. I was the only candidate that really made it a major part of my platform. It was by far the number one thing, because we had crime when I was mayor. The Bloods and the Crips in the early part of this century were very active in Toledo, and we went directly after them with collaborative effort of the Toledo Police Department, the Sheriff's Department, and the Ohio Highway Patrol. The day we started it, from the day we started it, we went 90 days without another murder after having about six or seven murders in 10 to 11 days. So I think I knew a bit about how we could block the violence, and that hasn't happened, and it's still happening, the violence. We had two more women shot, one in her car and the other one just trying to exit that same car over the weekend. We're not used to that in Toledo, and it remains a problem that seemingly is not going to be tackled by this administration in a way that will end the violence.
When it came to last Tuesday with Mayor Kapsakavich, the results that we've seen, about 68.9% of the votes went to him, 29.7 for you. Amongst the people who did turn out, what happened?
I think two things, basically. One, my opponent had about probably ultimately close to $400,000, which he used two ways in particular. One, about every other day, the large size postcards being mailed out and telling the story of his accomplishments. And as I say, that was about three or four of those cards a week for about a month. So we're talking about 12, potentially 12 such cards arriving in every home in Toledo. And he also was able to, with his close to $400,000, buy an awful lot of primetime television. We had, in the final analysis, I think we had probably about somewhere around $45,000 to $50,000 worth of television, no primetime television. We had the best we could buy of the time available around the news slots at 6 and 11, and then we got some very reasonable time on those channels that bring you the old programs such as Archie Bunker and Coach and Mary Tyler Moore and so forth. Those are pretty reasonable, and they have their popularity with senior citizens. I think that there were three neighborhoods that we were basing our campaign on, Scott. One was the African-American vote. I've been a friend of African-Americans for some time, and that vote did not turn out in very high numbers for either candidate. Secondly, the senior citizen vote. And I don't have the final results of this. I just don't have either for the African American. There are estimates made by the African American newspaper on turnout and so forth, but I haven't seen any official count on the vote, so I'm just estimating that the black vote was probably not anywhere near as high as I would like it to have been. My opponent, who is not particularly popular in the African American community, probably was very happy with the percentage turnout there. And then my other two constituencies that I went after were the senior citizens. And as of yet, I don't know what the turnout was, but I think the general expected count in total, when all said and done, was about 22% of Toledoans turned out. And then I was hopeful that the end of town that I live in, South Toledo, as a result of a major and very well reported and advertised Save UTMC, which is the medical college and hospital on our South Toledo, in our South Toledo, very, very heavily involved in that, along with the congressperson. And I'd hope that vote would be a large turnout and in my favor, and I don't think it was a large turnout. I don't know whether it ended up in my favor or not yet.
Being 82 years old and running for office, do you think age was an issue with anybody?
Yeah, that's the only thing I left out. I don't know that for sure at the beginning, Scott. I don't think there's any question that there was. And I think within the first month, which probably would have been, in early May, by the time we got to Memorial Day, around the 1st of June, I think the visibility and energy that was very evident in my assertive, aggressive campaigning, more or less, we put that 82-year issue to rest. I didn't hear much about it. I'm sure behind my back and in some quarters that was being said. However, I was out in the community. I was visible. I was seen. I've always enjoyed, in addition to door-to-door and the football games and the bowling alleys, et cetera, I've enjoyed getting into the traffic jams of mid and late afternoon out there with two or three of my co-workers. They're waving Cardi signs, and I'm handing out Cardi postcards to folks as they are parked at a light waiting for the light to change, just going down the lane and handing out cards to them. And, you know, within a month period of time, people saw the, quote, old, end of quote, Cardi doing exactly what he did when he was younger. And so I think for those who were really concerned about that, we put that to rest. Now, what my opponent did, and he did a nice job of it, was repeating his age, and which was about half of mine. He's in his 40s, I think mid-40s, if I'm not mistaken. And then he'd say, let's not go back to the, quote, good old days. Let's not go back to the past. I, of course, would talk about how we only had 13 murders in 1 year when I was mayor, that we also won an All-America City Award and third most livable city in the world award, and brought a new Jeep plant, a new Owens Corning World headquarters, a whole group of restaurants to the east bank of the Maumee River called the Docks. Had really and lured the professional baseball team we have here, which is the AAA Mud Hens, the first minor league club of the Detroit Tigers, lured them from a suburban community to downtown Toledo. So I had a pretty good record of accomplishment and achievement, and I would, of course, run that we would get back to getting those types of things done. And my opponent, the mayor, said, let's not go back to the good old days. They were doing pretty well these days. And that message, I think, resonated combined with my age.
Cardi, with about 3 minutes left here at 82 with the results of this election in, what are you going to do now? Would you ever run for office again?
I think probably not. There's too many things that are out there to do, Scott. Being a respected problem solver around here, there are lots of things that I can do and control my schedule, control the amount of time I put into them. My daughter, Katie, said it probably best. You know what a blessing it was, Dad, that you didn't win. She said you would be having to spend half of your day on issues that probably shouldn't have been at the top of the mayor's agenda, but the politics of it all and your loyalty to people in the older neighborhoods would have had you spending a lot of time on some of those instead of delegating it to others on your staff to do. Your friendship with the people in the older neighborhoods would have you wanting to be there out in the neighborhood and attending the late afternoon discussions in some of the homes and schools and so forth around the community. She said you wouldn't be able to select those things that you are particularly good at and could focus your time upon, and you'll have more time to do the things with the rest of us, the family and so forth. And she was right. She was absolutely right. I guess it's a time to be a little more selfish with how I'm going to spend my time, Scott. And so I hope that, however, will be wisely, and that there will be callings from the community to help on this, that, or the other thing that will be a benefit to the constituency that I'm most concerned about, and that is the less fortunate, the homeless, the people that government sometimes has at a lower level for their problem solving rather than the middle class and upper middle class neighborhoods.
Mayor, it's always good to speak with you. I hope you come back soon so we can talk some more about things going on in Ohio and Toledo and things that are important to people's lives. It's always a pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you so much for giving me the time, Scott. Best wishes to you and your listening audience for the upcoming Thanksgiving and Christmas holiday seasons.
Stay well, Cardi. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Scott. Bye-bye now.
Cardi Finkbeiner, the former three-term mayor of Toledo, and just ran again, was not successful, but, you know, his life will go on. We'll be back in about 15 minutes.
Guava berry.
Have you ever heard of guava berry?
I